Welcome to another one of our podcasts, and thank you once again for checking with us to see what's going on, and today we're just going to dive right back in. Recently, we've been going over 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where it reads, "Of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now, what we're looking at today is the part about Christ being our sanctification. It is something that Paul began his discussion in 1 Corinthians talking about when he introduced himself as the person who was writing unto the church of God at Corinth, to them who were sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. And it is kind of giving us the idea that we're called to a special sanctification as a result of our being in Christ. And it's an in Christ that comes from being basically baptized and infused with his ability to be righteous and in proper standing with God, instead of being looked at as sinners who deserve to go to the netherworld or hell. So basically, this is what we're called to. It is a continuation of the Old Testament recommendation to live a holy life, to live a life that is sinless. And here in the New Testament, it is a rejoinder by us calling to be holy ones, sanctified in Christ Jesus, or saints. These are saints who we are called to be, just as the church canonizes certain individuals that are recognized as having exemplary value to the rest of the body of Christ. All of us are called to that kind of level of sanctification, to holiness. And it's the high calling that we come to. In fact, none of us will actually enter into heaven unless we truly are saints. So the call to sainthood is a very important one to get. And it's something that's rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. Why is it rooted in Jesus Christ? Because without him, all that we have to offer are filthy rags, because sin destroys any good that we would be able to do. So because we have this faith in Jesus, we're able from this point on do the works that we are called thereunto, and live a holy life. We're not going to be murderers. We're not going to be adulterers. We're not going to be thieves. We're not going to be covetous. We're not going to be liars, bearers of false witness. We're going to honor our father and mother. We're going to worship properly. We're going to do all the things that a person who ends up in heaven is required to do. In fact, if we kind of simply break it down, it's not merely that holiness is a right standing or just being deemed righteous. It is the life that you live as a result of who you are in Christ. It's the much fruit that you bear that Christ tells you that without him you're not able to bear. And it's basically what can truly be defined as a spiritual perfection. When we read in the Old Testament where we hear about men like, say, Job, who were perfect, they're not talking about perfection in the fact that they've never sinned. They're talking about perfection in the fact that they've matured and become spiritually righteous. It's kind of a legal completeness that they're not doing the things that they're not supposed to do. And it's more of a habitual thing there. When we look to define what is holy, we look to God first, because we know him as the Holy Spirit, as the Holy One of Israel. And therefore, we see that when we look at God, it is a reference to who he is at his core being, as a nature, a character trait, kind of like him being a God of love. And in this, it talks about how he deals with others, meaning us as creatures. He deals with us in a proper, fitting, spiritually perfect way. And therefore, in each one of us, righteousness is just a stepping stone to this kind of spiritual perfection. We start with being considered righteous because God forgives us of our sins, but then we're to live and act. This is the working out of our faith in fear and trembling that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2, or that James says that without works, faith is dead. It's the works that completes it. And if you go into even Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about the works that we are created in Christ Jesus to basically walk in and live out. And this is what it's all about. In fact, it's without this holiness, this near perfection, that we're not able to approach God. As the writer of Hebrews points out, that without holiness, no one will see God. And it's the calling that we are called to. In Matthew 5:48, and also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we're told to be perfect just as God is perfect, or be holy as God is holy. And therefore, we have to find our holiness in the individual Christ that we basically abide in. So in this abiding, this staying in Christ, we begin to work out this holiness in our life and actually live a sinless life. And it is possible to live above sin by the grace of God. And that's the whole point of why there are saints in the church as role models of that. Doesn't mean that at all times they were never tempted or didn't fall into sin at some point in their life, because all you have to do is read Augustine's Confessions, and you know that some of these saints that we revere and we pray to and we ask for their help in being able to overcome temptation and find grace with God as our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, that we basically are trying to live this lifestyle out. That, and as Paul says, we're not under the law to fulfill the deeds of the law. We're now freed by it. This is from Romans chapter 6, where we're not under the law of sin. We're under the law of grace. We're under the law of the Spirit of God, which is freedom and sanctification. I'll go into that probably at some other point in time, but that's just kind of touching upon it for you to read and look at as well. But if we look in Scripture, and especially in our text that we're using from 1 Corinthians 1:30, we can see that in personal experience, righteousness is what makes holiness possible, because we do have a right standing with God in Christ Jesus. We're able to live a holy lifestyle. It's not the same as you and me trying to work out our salvation, because salvation doesn't come by works, lest any man should boast. But it is something where after we get saved, after we're grafted into the vine of Christ, we can bear the much fruit that Jesus is talking about. And it's a fruit of holiness and sanctification. So when the believer first finds that Christ is his righteousness, we come to this joy and discovery that holiness is something that's also possible for us, that we're not able to just merely look at sin differently, but we can triumph over that sin in our own lives and not be weighed down by the problems that sin held us to in the first place. We can actually grow with a desire for holiness by the grace of God and a provision that God has made for supplying our needs to overcome sin and temptation so that we can be freed from our sins. That's the great mystery of the gospel, that we're not saved while we're sinning. We're saved from those sins, so we don't have to sin no more. Just as when Jesus forgave the adulterous woman, and he wrote on the ground, as the account tells, when he talked to her, he says, "I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more." So the basis for not sinning anymore is realizing the forgiveness that we have in Christ, because that is what, as our Father reminds us, we ask for forgiveness because we forgive others, and we are not led into temptation, are delivered unto evil. So there's a whole lot of the working out of our faith that comes into play when we truly understand that we can be holy. There's a deeper relationship with God that comes with overcoming our sins and temptations. We no longer see ourselves as we did before we were saved. A lot of people, when they look at themselves before they're saved, they look at themselves from an ethnic background. They look at themselves from a societal background, like either they're extremely rich or they're extremely poor, or they look at themselves from a certain sexual identity to where they see themselves as a lesbian, bisexual, or whatever it is that they want to see themselves as. But when you come to Christ, you see yourself as a person in Christ Jesus, and all that other stuff is just wiped away because it's unimportant for the relationship that you have with God. And it's that trade-off where you find that just as justification is God's work and is something that comes to you by faith in Christ and is communicated to you as you relate to Him, so also sanctification, as our work performed under the influence of gratitude for the deliverance that we've experienced, happens by the aid of the grace of God Himself. That's where the Holy Spirit in us allows us to bear the much fruit, like sap seeping through the vine, giving us strength, so that we no longer have to identify ourselves by our past transgressions or by our past identities. We can find an identity in Christ and truly be a Christian, Christ-like person. So we get into this, and we find out that with every gratitude that we have, and the more we thank and find this gratitude, that we find that it's no longer a struggle for us to overcome the temptations that held us bound, because we're basically glorifying Christ in our sanctification, just as we did in our righteousness, receiving the righteousness that comes from being forgiven, being basically washed by the waters of baptism or in confession when the priest absolves us, and truly getting into the state to where we truly are freed from our past transgressions, and therefore we're able to live differently. This is how Christ has made our sanctification by God, is that as we relate to Him, as we continue to pray, as we continue to go to Mass or other liturgies and really get into the whole idea of being Christian, we overcome the sin that so easily besets us. In fact, the war always happens against sin, against the things that we are tempted by simply understanding that we need to focus ourselves more on being in Christ and abiding in Him to be sanctified. In fact, the question comes up, how is it can any sinful person, how is it that you or I can become holy? Well, the simple answer is this: by Christ, who is the Holy One of God, by abiding in Him. That's the whole point of abiding as a branch on the vine. So we find ourselves in Christ. And this is the Christ whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, and is the holiness of God revealed incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself said in John 17, verse 19, that it was for our sakes that He sanctified Himself, that He lived a sinless life, so that they might be sanctified through the truth of the Word, through the truth that is Him, by abiding in Him. There is no other way for us to become holy than by becoming partakers of the very holiness of Christ that comes to us by faith, by abiding in Him, by maintaining a spiritual relationship with Him in our everyday lives. Because every time we come to a temptation, we should turn our focus to the Christ who saves us and makes it possible. In fact, this is how, of God, we are both in Christ Jesus, and we find not just wisdom, we find not just righteousness, but we find sanctification as well. And this abiding faith in Christ as our sanctification is the simple secret to how you live a holy life, how you live to be an overcomer, how you live to not be tempted and fall into the same sin that you were falling into, because you abide in Christ. And you really begin to really realize that everything that happens in your life experience from this day forward is because of who you are in Christ Jesus. In fact, abiding by faith in Jesus Christ helps us to truly understand that the measure of how successful we are as a Christian is based upon the measure of how much we truly do abide in Christ. The deeper we go, the more victories we have in life, the more we overcome temptations, and those temptations no longer hold us back. It's kind of like the alcoholic who stops going into bars and stops drinking alcohol. After a while, he doesn't think about those kinds of things. He's actually enjoying the other things that he's doing. So the deeper you go into understanding the Christian relationship with you and your union with Jesus Christ, the less you will have the tendency to be tempted and desire the things that led you into sin in the first place. In fact, the illustration of the good tree and the bad tree from Matthew 12 kind of points out that if we truly abide in Christ as a branch on the vine, we'll bear this good fruit. Because the words Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 33, states po very pointedly that if a tree is good, the fruit of that tree will be good. And you just need to think about it. If you got a tree that's healthy, it's going to bear good fruit. If you got a plant or a tree that's bad, it'll bear fruit that'll be poisonous to you. So because we're grafted into Christ, we can bear the good fruit. We can have the fruit of holiness and righteousness and sanctification that comes from abiding in Him. And it's only because of ignorance or some other reason that limits our understanding of this new abiding that makes sin such a struggle. Yes, we all do have a sin nature within us that is maintained. That's what theologically is called concupiscence. We're always going to be tempted to some kind of sin. We're always going to be weak in some area. But it's in that weakness that we're able to find the strength, the grace of God to overcome sin and to become more sanctified and holy, because this is the promise of Christ. This is what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tries to direct us to, that God is the one who's able to sanctify us entirely, spirit, soul, and body, so that He can present Himself, us to Himself, as spotless individuals. And this is what the God of peace is trying to do. He's trying to give us the peace so that we are completely sanctified, so that we're made perfect in Him. And it's only possible if we truly keep ourselves grafted into the vine of Christ. In fact, if we understand how this whole thing works, if you have a branch on a tree that's very healthy, it'll produce really good fruit. It won't have withered branches. It'll basically produce strong apples or pears or whatever it is that you're looking to have from that. And this is pretty much how it goes. As long as you forsake all to follow Christ and keep yourself in watchfulness against your old habits, you'll basically develop into a strong, more perfect, more mature Christian experience, to where you do good more instinctively than you did the sin in the past. So we need to kind of look at this from this perspective, and we need to watch over where the old nature tries to creep through, where we desire things that we weren't desiring, that was in line with the will of God or His way of being able to show Himself through our lives, because it's not important for us to be what we were before. It is important for us to abide in Christ and to really conquer this old life of sin and be completely renewed and truly bear the kind of fruit that comes from an entire consecration of the will, a surrender of everything to and for Christ in a completely wholehearted faith that abides entirely in Christ. So this is something that's very important that we need to understand, that we need to yield ourselves entirely to this new nature, which is being invested in us by Christ Jesus. And by doing so, we can repress every tendency of the old nature that tries to bear fruit and bring us down, and just basically let the grace of God and everything that He wants to have flowing into us through the Holy Spirit to unite us to Christ, to keep us in that relationship, so that the way we live is holy. That is the sweet and much fruit, the abundant life that Christ wants to have for us, because He wants to show us something more. In fact, if you will allow yourself to be grafted into Christ, everything of your old self will be completely destroyed. Even the smallest inkling and desire will be wiped away. That's the whole promise of eternal life and the beatific vision, that you no longer live on your own, but that the life that you used to live is now cut off and brought into perfect submission to God, so that you can be a new creature created in Christ Jesus to abide in Him as a sanctified individual and to live above the sin nature that your fleshly desires will still tempt you to, but not bring you into. And in fact, it is there that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, where he's trying to point out to you that in yourself there's no good thing. This corrupt nature, this concupiscence, as theologians call it again, is to be rejected, to be overcome by the grace of God, and you are to strive to be a holy saint, a individual that is spiritually perfect in how you live your life, because you're not bringing to fruit any more things from your corrupt carnal nature. You're being more of a spiritual person, a spiritual entity, in the fact that you are abiding more and more in Christ. You're bearing that fruit out in your life, and you're beginning to see how your new life is clothed in the perfection that Jesus had while he walked the earth, because that is where you in faith are united. Does this mean that we won't have a struggle with sin anymore? No, but it means that our struggle with sin does not have to end in defeat. We can end it in victory. We can be saints, because that is our high calling. And this is the focus we need to have about how we overcome sin and temptation through the righteousness that is provided for us, the justification that's provided for us by faith in Christ. And this goes back to how learning to live crucified with Christ and yet not be dead, as Galatians 2:20 points out, that we're able to glorify the life of Christ that's in us by cooperating and working out that salvation in our fear and trembling, realizing that as we do, it's what God is working in us that wills and desires this new life, this new fruit. The evil nature is still there. It has an unchanged tendency to rise up and show itself, but there's a new nature there as well. This is why we shouldn't faint, because in due season we'll reap. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap of the flesh corruption and death and wickedness. But if we sow to the Spirit, if we truly let ourselves be a harvest of righteousness, we can bring that out too, because that's also possible, as the sixth chapter of Galatians point out to us. So we don't deny that there's an evil nature, but we recognize that there's a new nature too, that living in Christ as our sanctification, and that through Him all that we have and have need of to be sanctified can be made available in our life, so that we can rise in life and be made to bear fruit to the glory of God our Father. And this is pretty much a life of sanctification, a holy life that is possible by abiding in Christ. In fact, the thought of personal holiness in Christ and this new holy nature that's formed in us and is being communicated to us is something that we can only make use of when we truly understand by faith how we abide in Christ. It's the one great mystery, that the holy nature of Christ is something that we ourselves can work out. And it's something that if we receive it in faith, and we really understand that it exists for us in Christ and is treasured up in Him, and all we have to do is abide in Him and receive His justification, that this righteousness can be worked out in our lives and sanctification can happen as a result. That's why when the Catholic Church talks about sanctification is tied instantaneously with justification, because they're just two parts of the same coin. We receive a justification from God, and from that justification we have the ability, this new life that we can now live, that that can be holy and worked in true spiritual righteousness rather than a work of the flesh that leads us into temptation. We have those two natures, and we can basically tune in to one or the other, and it's where we put our focus that's the very important. We can continue to live the corruption that comes to us naturally from the first Adam, or we can live the new nature, a holy nature that is produced in us by our abiding in Christ. It's derived from him to us and works out as the new fruit of a branch abiding in the vine. And it's about our relationship with us that comes from holy practice, from basically taking the time to produce this in our lives, to cooperate with this grace that eventually leads us into the greater things and the greater blessings of God. It is something that really is what makes the relationship between us and God so important, and speaks of why we pray, why we go to church, why we're at Mass on Sundays, basically, why we receive Holy Communion, why we go through all the other sacraments and sacramentals to receive some token of grace being imparted into our lives. Basically seeing the treasury of grace being made available to us because we abide in Christ as a branch on the vine. And the more we look at him, look at Christ as the Holy One of God, who was made human, who was made a man like you and I, in the sense that he might communicate with us through his being a divine person, the holiness of God, that we can also see that we are a new man created in this Christ Jesus, who is our righteousness and source of true holiness, that we can work out this holy nature and truly see it as where we perform these gifts of God and really get into how we live it in our daily lives. We no longer have to listen to the old nature of temptation and do evil. We can listen to this holy nature, which has us rooted in Christ as a branch on the vine, and can truly bring out the grace of holiness and sanctification in a way that is mind-boggling to us, but is just as effortless as leading us into temptation when we follow the old nature. So we need to recognize that we are new creatures in Christ, that we have a new nature within us that imparts through grace of God the strength and wisdom that we need to be truly holy and sanctified in life. So if I can encourage you to do one thing today, it's merely let faith allow you to surrender yourself and all your self-conscious confidence to Christ and understand that you have an utter corruption that is natural, that's of the old person. But you now abide in Christ. And because you abide in Christ, you can let that new assurance of Christ show you that you can do what the Father expects you to do as his child, that under his covenant of grace, because you have Christ strengthening you, you can live a holy, sanctified, and sinless life. You don't have to give in to the temptations that held you bound before you came to the gospel, before you came to be baptized or to confession, to be freed of any kind of stain of mortal or venial sins. Because as we continue to do this, we will learn for ourselves that in the experiences of life, that we can be holy and acceptable to God because of this new grace. This life of holiness does not have to be a strain or an effort that we struggle against, a yoke that is hard, but rather a burden that is now very easy and light, because it's not hard for us to do. We don't have to struggle against it like we did when we were doing it ourselves, trying to be righteous without him. We can actually live united to Christ in a way to where just as you feel the temptation to sin, you can feel the desire for holiness dealings within you. Because the scripture tells us that just as the flesh desires certain things, so does the spirit. And if we listen to the spirit, if we give ourselves over to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, we are the true sons and daughters of Christ. We're the two true children of God that truly can overcome and live a holy life. So if we can look at a life of holiness not as something as a big effort, but as something that's a natural outgrowth of how we live in Christ, we will find that we will have a hopeful, cheerful faith that can lay hold assured of a holy life, because it is reaching out to that holiness not as a thing in our nature, but in the nature of Christ who is holy and pure. And that is how we are able to abide in Christ and find in Him our sanctification. And I just encourage you to try to do that today. Spend some time to really get an idea of what it is that Christ is holy and what it is that you are called to as a saint of God. And to see that as a branch on the vine, you can overcome any kind of temptation that holds you bound, whether it be alcohol, smoking, sexual promiscuity, the need to steal, the need to lie, the need to curse. All those things that have held you back for years can be broken and can be overcome once you truly understand your place in Christ. Will there be a warfare? Yes. Will there be some thorn of the flesh, as Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians, that we need the grace of God to overcome? Yes, but at the same time, it's a grace that comes to us because His grace is so much greater that it can conquer everything. Because where sin abounds, grace is greater. Therefore, we do not have to commit sin. We just have to be hooked up and live out the sanctified life that Christ makes possible for each one of us. I thank you once again for our broadcast, and I hope this really blessed you today. And I do look forward to talking with you in the future and having you listen to further broadcasts. And hopefully you will help support us with at least a $5 a month donation through the Patreon program that we have, building a large extra resource on how to pray more effectively and get into a more spiritual plane with God, to where you can truly experience this abiding in a very deeper way. And hopefully you'll take the time to do that. But in the meantime, hope you have a wonderful day and just be blessed. And thank you.